Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, that's what the shooting's all about. The swellest tasting breakfast cereal you ever had. Quaker popped rice or Quaker popped wheat. Reach for the big Quaker red and blue package every morning. Burley Kane was tough. And at 36, he was a hardened criminal, intent upon taking what he wanted at the point of a gun, even if it meant killing. In Dawson, Burley had met two men, Al Marco and Jay Corey, who had planned the details of a bank robbery. But Burley double-crossed them and carried out the robbery alone, a day ahead of schedule.
All right, put the cash in his satchel.
Yeah, sure. Just as you say. Here's the bag, mister.
Right.
Stop that man! It's a hold-up! Don't let him get out!
I'll fix you for that!
In making his getaway, Burley had killed the bank teller. He headed into the frozen north, some distance above 40 Mile, hid in a cabin he had used before as a hideout. He felt secure because a recent snowfall had covered his tracks. Consequently, Burley was more than surprised when the door of the cabin was suddenly shoved open and he faced a gun in the hand of Sergeant Preston.
Don't move.
The Mountie.
Hold it.
No!
Push him, King.
You took me by surprise.
You're wanted in Dawson for robbery and murder. I've come to take you back. First, I'll put on these handcuffs.
Easy. Your bullet grazed my wrist.
I'll bandage it.
Sergeant Preston bandaged the slight wound as the intelligent dog King stood guard over the surly killer. When the sergeant had finished, Burley Kane spoke again.
A long, tough trip back to Dawson, Mountie.
We'll make it. Where's the loot from the bank robbery?
You can't prove I robbed a bank.
You were recognized during the holdup, Kane.
Ah, so you know my name.
Yes, and your record. Now search the cabin for the loot. On guard, King.
With King standing in front of him, Burley sat with manacled hands, watching as Sergeant Preston started the search. Finally, a small black satchel was found under one of the books.
Ah, here it is.
All right, so you found it.
This is the evidence that will clinch the case against you, Kane, and send you to the gallows.
Like I said before, Sergeant, it's a long, tough trip back to Dawson. And from the looks of things, we're in for a blizzard before nightfall.
I'm taking you back, Kane, and we're starting right away, regardless of the weather.
Just as you say, Mountie. But a lot can happen between here and Dawson.
I'll take the risk.
What about my dog team? Gonna leave those mutts here to starve?
How many are there?
Five.
I'll hitch them in with my team and leave your sled behind. I have your gun and you're handcuffed. You'll ride the sled while I drive the team.
Sure. I know when I'm finished.
I'll pack what supplies you have and then we'll start back.
After making the necessary precautions, Sergeant Preston and King started back with the prisoner. As Burley had predicted, snow began to fall, and the wind grew in intensity after they'd been on the trail a couple of hours. At dusk, Preston, realizing the danger of losing his way in the darkness, looked for a likely place to camp. Finally, he pulled over to a low ridge and found a protruding ledge that afforded some protection from the storm.
Okay. Hello. All right, fellow, watch him. Come on, Kane. I'll fix something to eat from the supplies.
You mean you're going to keep me handcuffed all the time?
That's right.
Before this trip is over, you may be glad to have my help.
I'll manage.
Oh, call off that mutt, will you? Why does he have to follow me like that? You have my gun and these handcuffs keep me helpless.
I don't take chances with men like you, Kane.
My chance might come, Mountie. I'm warning you. And if it does, there'll be one less Mountie in the Yukon.
Sergeant Preston realized that Burley would need constant watching. But with King to help, he felt secure in taking short naps during the long night. At dawn, they again set out along the trail in the storm.
On, King! On, you husky!
The going was rougher than Sergeant Preston had anticipated. And finally, as they moved slowly along a treacherous narrow ridge bordered on either side by ravines, Preston stopped the team.
On, King! Hi, you husky! Hello, ho!
Tug line broke. I'll have to go ahead and fix it.
I hope you slip into one of the ravines and break your neck.
Thanks. I'll be careful.
Under the circumstances, the sergeant knew Burley wouldn't try to leave the sled handcuffed as he was. But Burley kept his eyes on the Mountie as he bent over to examine the tug line. Burley cautiously leaned forward and, feeling under the robe that covered the sled, picked up the bag of meager supplies. Then, suddenly kicking off the robe and grasping the bag in both hands, he raised it and threw it into one of the ravines.
Yeah, that'll fix him.
Hold it, Kane. What are you up to?
That's too quick for you, Marty. The supplies are at the bottom of that ravine. I threw that bag of stuff from the sled.
Steady, boy. Kane, you fool, that bag contained most of our supplies. Only thing less, a small box of hardtack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Maybe you'll starve, Sergeant, huh? Maybe we'll both starve. But one of us will go first. And I figure I'm plenty rugged.
I heard you were tough, Kane, and you're proving it. But I'll get you back to Dawson one way or another.
Up front, King. All right, on, King! On, you husky!
For 2 days, Sergeant Preston moved southward with his prisoner. In spite of what Burley Kane had done with the supplies, Preston carefully handed out equal portions of the hardtack. On the afternoon of the second day, the storm stopped, but the cold was intense, and drifts that had piled high hindered progress along the trail. Both the men began to feel the pangs of hunger, but neither complained. That evening, Preston stopped along the trail and divided the last of the hardtack.
Here you are, Kane. That's the last of it.
Too bad. You know, Sergeant, I hear real hunger makes a man drowsy after a while. First weak, then drowsy.
Don't count on it, Kane.
Without food, the dogs will finally give out, too.
Maybe, but we'll go on until they do. We'll camp here for the night, then push on at dawn.
That night, the two men rolled up in their blankets. Leaving King to guard the prisoner, Preston soon fell into a sound sleep. Burley Kane lay awake and listened until he was certain the Mountie was sleeping. Then he slowly moved his manacled hands from under the blanket. Unobserved by Preston, he had saved his last portion of hardtack, which he held between his fingers. There was a bright, cold moon shining, and Burley could see the alert eyes of the big dog King who lay near him, watching every move. Being careful not to startle the dog with a sudden move, Burley tossed the hardtack a short distance away. King, too, was hungry, though Preston had shared his own portion with him.
Go get it, fella. Get it, boy.
Slowly, King got to his feet, then moved suspiciously toward the hardtack. Kane acted quickly.
Now I'll get the Mountie's gun.
But King, trained not to accept food from strangers, turned around again as Burley started toward the sergeant. Immediately, King went into action.
Oh, no!
Kane.
The dog, call him off!
On, King. Steady, boy.
Yeah, if it hadn't have been for that mud, I'd have had your gun, Mountie.
Now that you've seen him in action, perhaps you'll give up trying to outsmart us, Kane.
Shut up. I'm going to get some sleep. I'll get the best of you yet, Redcoat. My time will come in spite of that dog.
Good work, King. Watch him, boy. Good night, Kane.
At dawn, the rough, tedious journey was continued. The dogs, tired and hungry, at times became almost unmanageable. And it took all of King's vigilance and training to keep them going.
Hello, King. Hello, huskies. Hello.
Your dogs are causing most of the trouble.
Dogs are tired and hungry.
Soon they'll give out altogether.
Don't you realize your own life is in danger if we lose the team?
Sure. But I'll get the satisfaction of having you die with me, Sergeant. And that's better than swinging on the gallows alone.
I'm going to unhitch the dogs and let them burrow in the drifts a while. And I'll use leg irons and cuff your hands behind your back. It'll be warm enough under that fur robe until King and I get back.
Hey, where are you going? If you're thinking of ditching me and trying it alone...
I told you I'd take you to Dawson, and that's what I intend to do. Right now, I'm going over to that ridge and see if I can spot a caribou.
After securing the prisoner, Sergeant Preston and King went to a ridge some distance away. Burley sat on the sled waiting. He dozed a while. Suddenly, he was awakened by a sound that sent chills along his spine.
A grizzly! And he's moving right toward me. I can't get loose! Help! Help! Help!
Over on the ridge, Sergeant Preston and King stood looking over a small valley in hopes of spotting a caribou. They both heard Burley's frantic cry for help.
Help! Help!
A grizzly going to attack Kane. Come on, King!
Help! Help!
At the sled, Burley watched in terror as the big animal reared to his hind legs and, swinging his massive forepaws, moved slowly forward with deep, ferocious growls.
Preston!
King, running ahead of his master, made straight for the menacing beast. Growling and snapping, the grizzly turned to meet the husky.
Get away, King! Get away!
He's dead.
I thought I was done for. I sure didn't want to die that way.
You're safe now. This bear meat will feed the dogs and us, too.
So you and the dog took a chance, Sergeant. Guess I ought to say thanks.
I intend to get you to Dawson alive, Kane.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Your appetite really strikes it rich, fellas and girls, when you have a heaping bowl full of delicious Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice for breakfast. There's a bonanza of good eating in every spoonful of those crisp, tender, flavor-rich grains that are shot from guns. And you get added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So treat yourself every morning to swell-tasting, nourishing Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice. And listen, get ready. Get set for details on a sensational offer. It's coming at the end of this program. Have pencil and paper ready. Now to continue. After feeding the dogs and with enough bear meat to see them through, Sergeant Preston and his prisoner again moved along the trail. Meantime, in a shack hidden from the trail by a low ridge, two men, Al Marco and Jay Corey, Burley's former companions, were talking.
Jay, your turn to go up on the ridge and watch for the Mountie and Kane.
All right, I'll go in a minute. I wish I could feel as certain as you are that the Mountie we followed up this way will catch Burley.
He'll get Burley, all right. Ed Monty's the best on the force, Sergeant Preston. He has a trained dog with him, too. Preston always gets any man he goes after.
Well, if he does get Burley, they're sure to come back this way.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll get the last laugh on that double-crosser Burley. He'll be surprised to have us move in and take over the stolen cash.
His surprise isn't going to last long. We'll plug both him and Preston, dump him in a ravine somewhere up here. Then we'll take off with the loot.
Maybe it isn't going to be as easy as you think.
Ah, look, remember what I told you. The first thing we do is spot them coming along the trail. And before they know anybody's around, we plug the dog. With that dog out of the way, we'll have a chance to get at Preston and Burley.
Sounds easy. I'll go to the ridge and watch. If I see them coming, I'll signal you by waving my arm.
Later, Sergeant Preston and Burley moved along the trail. King ran ahead of the team. Suddenly, there was a rifle shot.
Hey, husky. Hello, hello.
Preston looked toward the ridge, but saw no one. Gun in hand, he started forward, but soon found that his path was impeded by a ravine which was too wide to cross. Keeping his gun ready and his eye on the ridge, he returned to the sled and hurried to King's side.
King! King boy. No. Flesh wound on your shoulder. It's all right, boy. I'll bandage it and put you on the sled.
Working fast and still alert for any movement along the ridge, Sergeant Preston bandaged King's wound, then carried the big dog to the sled.
There. King will ride the sled with you, Kane. I got my hands on the man who tried to kill him.
How come you didn't go all the way to the ridge? Try to track whoever fired that shot.
There's a ravine between here and that ridge. What's more, my job is to get you to Dawson. We'll go on now. All right, on you, Huskies!
As soon as they shot the dog, Al and Jay, fearing Preston might hit one of them, they tried to shoot again, quickly left the ridge and returned to the cabin.
Well, looks like we put that mutt out of commission.
Yeah. And Amani couldn't get to the ridge to investigate.
What do we do now?
Pack up and follow him. We'll wait our chance and then take him by surprise. Maybe during the night. Come on, let's get this.
Right.
Half an hour later, Al and Jay moved with their sled down along the ridge. A ravine came to an end about a mile further on. And it was there they expected to follow the trail behind Sergeant Preston.
Better not move too fast, Jay. Best to keep our distance behind Preston so he doesn't find out we're following.
Burley'd be plenty nervous if he knew who shot that dog.
Yeah. He hasn't any idea we followed the Monty up here. It'll be worth the trouble when we grab that loot. And after we get rid of both of them, we'll be able to travel without worrying about the Monty's being after us.
Yeah. If the police ever come up to investigate what happened to Preston and they find him, they'll think Burley and the Monty shot it out between them.
And we'll fix it to look that way, too. Come on, mush. Mush, you husky.
At dusk, Preston once more made camp along the trail. Though King's wound wasn't serious, the big dog wasn't able to move around. As the two men prepared to settle down for the night, Burley spoke.
We can't figure on much sleep tonight, Sergeant. Now that King can't get around, I might have the chance to get my gun from you. Sort of tough on you, isn't it?
No, it's going to be rather tough on you, Kane. After your attempt to get my gun during the night, I'm not taking any chances. I'll put the leg irons on you again. The short length of chain between the irons will allow movement of your feet, but not enough for you to walk freely. Also, I'll handcuff your wrists behind your back.
Hey, but wait, Sergeant. How'll I be able to sleep?
Sleep on your side. Now I'll secure you for the night.
Burley was secured with the leg shackles and his hands manacled behind his back. The sergeant lay awake in spite of these precautions. He respected Burley's wily cleverness and felt the prisoner might use trickery regardless of his bonds. Finally, Burley Kane fell asleep.
He's asleep. You rest, King. I'll watch the prisoner. You'll soon be yourself again, boy.
The strain of the journey began to tell on Preston. In spite of his determination to keep watch, his eyes finally closed. The moon was bright, and about an hour later, Preston was awakened by a warning growl from King.
King? What is it, boy?
The Mountie sat up. He saw King trying to rise, but without success. And two figures stood just a short distance away with ready guns.
You're both covered, Mountie. See, your dog isn't much help right now.
Why the guns?
This isn't a friendly visit, Preston.
Oh, I see you know my name.
Sure. Followed you up here, didn't we, Jay?
That's right.
Hey, what? Al, Jay.
Yeah, hi, Burley. Nice to see you again. Even if you're a dirty double-crossing polecat.
Hey, now, take it easy, Al. I'm handcuffed and shackled. Look, this Mountie was taking me back to Dawson. But now that you fellas are here, you can set me free. We'll divide the loot. Look, it's over there on the sled.
Yeah, thanks for the offer. We'll be glad to get the cash.
All right, then. Then take the Mountie's gun. He has mine, too.
I'll keep Preston covered, Jay. Take his gun.
Sure.
Good thing we wounded that mutt. I've heard a lot about him.
Yeah, but he's no good to Preston right now. I got the guns, Al.
Get the key to the handcuffs. It's in his pocket.
Nothing doing, Burley. You're going to die with your boots on. You have the handcuffs on, too.
Well, now, hold on. I thought...
You fool. You don't think we'd help you after what you did.
We're going to kill you and the Mountie and the dog. And we'll have the loot to ourselves. I'll stand up, both of you. When we're ready, we'll walk you through a ravine we saw back a ways. That'll be easier than dragging both bodies through deep snow.
So you're the men who shot my dog, eh?
That's right, Sergeant. Too bad we didn't kill him. But the shot did put him out of commission. Jay, go to the sled and get the cash.
All right. Keep both covered, Al.
Disregarding King, who lay near Preston's blanket, the crook Al took a few steps closer to Preston and Burley, so that King was slightly behind him. Preston, looking beyond the crook, saw the valiant husky slowly and quietly struggle to his feet. Burley, too, noticed. But he didn't speak. Suddenly, using every ounce of strength he could muster, King sprang forward, sinking his teeth into Al's ankle.
No!
At the same moment, Preston jumped forward and swung with his fist.
I'll take that gun!
No! Jay!
Preston quickly bent down and grabbed the gun, but the crook Jay, bending over the sled, turned. As he started to raise his gun, Burley, who had managed to get to his feet, lunged toward Jay.
I'll stop you! No!
Drop that gun!
With one eye on Al, whom King had released, Preston sprang forward and quickly picked up Jay's gun.
I'll take the other guns from your pockets.
My shoulder.
Get over there next to your pal. Move!
Al, I thought you said that mutt wasn't of any use.
Oh, shut up. My ankle.
That's far enough. On guard, King.
Backing the short distance to the sled, Preston, still keeping his gun ready, reached down and fumbled a moment till he found two more handcuffs. Then he came forward and snapped them onto each of the crooks.
There.
Oh, Al.
Now I'll look after Kane. Kane! Kane!
Well, he got me, Sergeant. Guess this is it for me.
Take it easy. I'll do what I can for you.
It's no use. I've just been thinking. I had it coming. You sure treated me fair and square, Preston. In spite of everything. Maybe it don't mean anything to you for me to say this, but I decided you're a mighty fine fella, Preston. Mighty fine.
Well, thanks, Burley. It does mean something to me.
But you aren't going to take me back like you wanted to. I'm going to fool you after all. But you'll take two killers with you instead of one. Thanks for everything.
Burley Kane is dead. I arrest you two men in the name of the Crown for murder.
For murder? No. No, we'll go to the gallows.
That's right. From now on, I'll take no chances. I'll tie both of you, bandage your wounds, and with Burley's body as evidence, we'll head for 40 Mile.
Oh.
We should reach there by tomorrow noon. We'll have rough going, but we'll make it.
After tying their feet, Preston went down the trail a short distance to where Al and Jay had left their sled. Later, with both sleds hitched together in tandem, he started out with the two crooks on one and Burley and King on the other. The next afternoon, he arrived in 40 Mile, and the two crooks were jailed. After Burley's body was left at the coroner's, Preston returned to the constable's office.
This killing took place in your territory, Constable. I'll leave the two prisoners here and go on to Dawson with the bank cash.
Sergeant, you sure had a tough time of it. I reckon you didn't expect to come back with two killers when you started after Kane, did you?
No, but I did bring back the prisoner I went after, and the bank cash has been recovered.
Yeah, you're lucky you got back alive. Oh, by the way, how's King?
King's much better today, thanks. He'll ride the sled back to Dawson, and he'll soon be as well as ever.
From what I've heard, he didn't let a bullet wound stop him from doing his duty. He's a real Mountie, Sergeant.
He's a loyal friend, Constable. He forgot all about himself when he saw I was in danger. I'll be glad to reach Dawson after all this, and I'll be very glad to report that this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Isn't it true, Sergeant Preston, that the famous totem poles in the Northwest give you a picture story of the Indians' lives and adventures?
Yes. The weird hand carvings of animals, birds, and strange creatures represent certain events, some true and some legendary.
And I understand that the only tools the Indians had to make the carvings on the giant logs were beaver teeth, whalebone, and sharp stone.
It's interesting, too, that totem poles are found nowhere else in the world but the Great Northwest.
So here's a big surprise for you fellas and girls. The most exciting opportunity you can imagine.
Right now, you can get a whole collection of five different miniature totem poles.
Authentic scale model totem poles are being offered for a short time only to friends of Sergeant Preston by swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Here are the different poles you get.
One, the famous Thunderbird, god of weather.
Two, the fight with the land otters.
Three, the weird burial pole with the box at the top to bury the body.
Four, the killer whale that tells the fascinating story of a whale hunting tribe.
Five, the sun and raven, famous because the raven is the greatest hero and mythical god of the Northwest.
You'll be amazed, thrilled, when you see and hold these 4-inch-high, hand-painted scale model totem poles made of pressed wood.
Every one is a real, authentic copy of the very totem poles you'd see today if you traveled thousands of miles up to the Northwest.
Wouldn't it be fun to make your own little Indian villages for each totem pole?
To take your totem poles to school when you study Indian life?
And here's how easy it is to get any one or the whole collection of 5 different totem poles.
Just get one of the special new packages of delicious Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice now at grocers.
These packages tell all about the exciting totem poles. And they have a special handy order blank with a list of the 5 different poles right on it.
You just check the totem poles you want. And for every one you check, send 25 cents.
Now, if you want the whole collection, you send only $1.
But whether you want one or all of them, you only have to send one box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Remember to send 25 cents for each totem pole you want, or $1 for the whole collection.
Send to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And here's something extra you get. With your order, you get a little booklet that tells the fascinating history and story of each totem pole.
Now listen, if these aren't the most exciting scale model totem poles you ever saw, you get every cent of your money back.
Better hurry, because the supply is limited. This special offer will be over before you know it.
So act at once, tonight. Get the special new packages of delicious Quaker puffed wheat or rice.
The box top tells you just what to do for any totem pole you want.
Get going. Send right now, tonight, to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a 10-year-old boy was the only witness to the fact that Flora Coates' cafe safe was robbed, and she's been taken away by the crooks. The boy claims they intend to kill Flora.
Is the boy telling the truth, sir?
I'm sure of it. Talk to him and get all the facts. Then my only instructions are, Sergeant, find those crooks before they kill Flora and bring them back.
I'll leave at once, Inspector.
The word of a small boy is all the Mounties have to go on. Sergeant Preston is starting on a race with death, and he, too, may be a target for the killer's bullets. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-Ten, and only Pak-O-Ten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-Ten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-Ten at your grocer's tomorrow. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.